Parshas Kedoshim, of course, begins with this mitzvah or this charge from HaKadosh Baruch Hu to Klal Yisrael, Kedoshim to you, you shall become Kadosh. You shall be Kadosh. You shall be holy. You shall be holy and you will be holy. What is the meaning of this Kedusha? So famously, we have a machlokes between Rashi and the Ramban. Rashi says that it's referring to the idea of being Purushim min ha'arayo, separating ourselves from behaviors that would be associated with arayos, with sexual immorality. And the Ramban says, Kaddish atzmocha b'motalach, that we should be kaddish ourselves, make ourselves holy by refraining from overindulging in things that are, even those things that are permitted, to live within limitations. However, the Rashbam says that Kedoshim to you, may be referring to all of the mitzvahs in this week's parasha. And there are dozens of mitzvahs in the parasha, dozens of mitzvahs that have to have been adal hamakom, mitzvahs that have to have been adal chaver, relationships with other people, as well as relationships with the Kodesh Baruch Hu. And on them, the Rashbam says, Kedoshim to you, b'mnei shaharbe mitzvos, huzuru, v'skadish v'lishmar, because there are so many mitzvahs that we are being required now, we are being forewarned to be mekadesh, to sanctify, and to be careful with. And that's how we become kadosh. Become kadosh by having honest weights. We become kadosh by treating our parents properly. We become kadosh by bringing the kabbonis we should bring in, by leaving in our fields for the poor we're supposed to leave for the poor, and by not swearing falsely, and on and on and on. Those are the mitzvos. It's all of those mitzvos that make us a people that are kadosh. And there are indeed dozens of mitzvos in the parasha, and so many that we could be focusing on. But we're just going to try to focus on one pasuk and to try to zero in on some insights that are given in some of this forum about this particular pasuk. Pasuk says, very much near the beginning, Ish imo v'aviv tiro, a person should fear his father and his mother and his father. Fear them, have awe for them, have reverence for them. V'shavso say teshmoru, and observe and guard my Shabbosos, my Shabbos, and Yashem Elokeichem. And it immediately hits us that there's this strange juxtaposition between two mitzvahs that seemingly have nothing to do with each other. The mitzvah of fearing our parents, and the mitzvah of keeping Shabbos. But the truth of the matter is this juxtaposition is not new here. It's already there in the Seres Adibros, where Kabbat Esavicha Vesimecha is preceded by the mitzvah of Shabbos. That first comes Shabbos, and immediately afterwards is Kabbat Esavicha Vesimecha. So how we deal with our parents and how we deal with the mitzvahs to Shabbos seem to be connected with each other. And of course, we have the Mefarshim that talk about this, and Rashi already talks about this idea of what is the Shoshesh tomorrow to tell you that you have to keep Shabbos, that there are limits to what our parents can tell us to do, and if our parents tell us to violate Shabbos, then we can't listen to them because we're all obligated to listen to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. But there are other ideas that we see in some of the more recent Sfarim that are worthwhile mentioning. Rabbi Yaakov Kamenetsky talks about this. Derek Frush, he talks about this connection between Ish Ima Vav Tiro, fearing one's father and his mother, and Shabbos Tishmoru, observing Shabbos. And perhaps the best way I can try to convey what he says is to ask us to imagine. We know that many, many people believe in random mutation and the theory of evolution and say that man simply descended from different types of creatures that preceded him, through an evolutionary process, going all the way back to early primates, some kind of ape-like creature, that eventually, over time, over the millions of years, the theory of evolution would say, evolved into what we know as Homo sapiens or human beings. Now, let's imagine for a moment that we completely buy into that theory. And my point over here is not to discuss whether or not that theory can in any way reconcile with the Torah's description of Mass of Bereshis. That's for another time, another place. But simply, there's this idea that man descended from some kind of ape-like creature, some kind of early primate. Imagine for a moment, then, that this process of evolution somehow became highly accelerated. And instead of it taking millions of years, it took one generation. You had an ape-like creature, completely primitive and animalistic, and it gave birth, he or she, I guess you would say, gave birth to a human being, a sophisticated human being, a brilliant human being. Let's even say that the human being was an Einstein-like human being, a genius, highly sophisticated, highly advanced, with the ability to create, with the ability to invent, with the ability to think, with the ability to communicate, and so on and so on. Can we imagine that human being having respect for his mother and his father? They were apes. His parents are apes. They have the sophistication of apes, and they have the mental ability of apes. They're not human beings. Could you imagine that human being, that sophisticated, brilliant, advanced human being, would have respect for those apes? So says Rabbi Yaakov, while he does not exactly pose this scenario that I just presented, that if we go with the theory of evolution, while it may not have been accelerated in the way that I described, but man descends from apes, and a human being's parents are one step closer to the ape than he is. He's evolved. He's different. He's more special. He's more advanced, because that's what evolution says. They become more advanced and more sophisticated as time goes on. Why in the world should he respect that parent? Why in the world should he have a sense of awe and fear of that parent, if that parent is less sophisticated than he is? And perhaps it's even more true in our times, when we live in an age that is driven by technology, where by definition technology is becoming more and more advanced, and the younger generation is more and more familiar and more advanced with its ability to manipulate the technology than an older generation. Question is, why should they respect the parents? Why should they? Along comes Ish Ima Vavitiro V'Shafsosai Tishmuru, with the mitzvah of Shabbos juxtaposed to Kabbat Yisivich HaSemecha, to tell us we are the keepers of Shabbos. And Shabbos attests the idea that man does not descend from apes, but that the world was created by HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and that man was the crowning achievement, or the crown jewel of creation itself. That Adam Rishon, that very first human being, was a perfect human being. He's perfect in every way. He's physically perfect. He had no parents to mess him up emotionally and psychologically. He was the Yetzir Kapov Shel HaKadosh Baruch Hu, the creation, the handiwork of HaKadosh Baruch Hu himself. On a spiritual level, we can't even begin to imagine what his capabilities were. Chazal tell us, Adam Rishon Hayaro Misofa Olam Vatsof Olam. He saw from one end of the world to the other. What does that mean? We're not talking about his vision, his physical vision. We're talking about his depth of vision. He's able to understand the deepest, deepest things. And Chazal tell us that after Adam Rishon died, the Gemara says, his heels radiated with a light that was brighter than the sun. What does that mean? What that means is, Rav Dessler explains, the heel is the bottom of the human being. It represents the lowest part of his spirituality. And what Chazal is telling us is that Adam Rishon, even after the Chet, and even after he died, still his spirituality was so powerful, so intense, that his heels, so to speak, radiated that spirituality. The lowest part of his spirituality was even brighter than the sun. This is who we descend from. And therefore, we had this idea of respect. Respect for an early generation, respect for parents, respect for grandparents, because they are closer to that perfect human being that was Adam Rishon. They're closer for us, they're closer to the source of all of truth and Har Sinai. As we get more distant from Har Sinai, we are further from that source of light. And therefore, the mitzvah of Shabbos is critical to our understanding of how it's supposed to relate to those generations that came before us. And it's truly a remarkable thing if you think about how we deal with the past. We as Jews, and particularly from Jews, are very, very almost obsessed with the notion of grandparents and great-grandparents. Where do we come from? Who were they? Who are we related to? What kind of Gadol B'Yisrael has his blood running through our veins? We are very, very curious about the past. We are very, very interested in the past. We are very, very connected to the past, and we want to know more and more about it. And that's very much part and parcel of this idea of Ish Imav Tirov Shapsosa Tishmuru. The believer in Shabbos, believer in HaKadosh Baruch Hu as the creator, the believer in HaKadosh Baruch Hu as the one who's the source of everything and created that perfect human being to start with. That is the one who we turn to. That is where we believe we in fact come from, and therefore the past is closer to that story, closer to that reality, closer to that perfection than we are, and is the past that is to be respected, and is a past that is to be studied, and is a past that is to be learned from. So Asemis adds a somewhat different idea to Ish Ima V'Tirov V'Shavsosa Tishmoru. He says that just like in creation itself. Just like in creation itself, Hashem created the world in 6 days. And that's the world of Teva, of nature. And then on the seventh day, He gave the world a neshama called Shabbos. On the seventh day, He rested, and He gave the world a nefesh. The soul of creation, the soul of the Bria, is Shabbos. Shabbos is a spiritual energy that is so precious and so special because it is the engine that keeps the universe alive and gives the universe purpose and meaning. So too it is with human beings. With human beings, we also have a physical body representative of the 6 days of creation. We have parents, two parents who are responsible for the physical components of our reality, of our existence. However, we have a third component that HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave us, and that's the neshama. The neshama, the Shabbos, is we also have a Shabbos inside of us. And that's the neshama that is our energy and our existence, what really drives purpose, drives our purpose in this world. And therefore, the pasuk is saying, Yishimah v'tirah, have proper respect and awe for parents, but if so, say to Shemorah, make sure you don't forget about the neshama, that is your Shabbos, and make sure you keep it holy and keep it special, and you take good care of it. Finally, the Sfas Emes points out that Yishimah v'tirah, we have to fear our parents. And Chazal tells, what does it mean to fear parents, to fear your father? Ayeshim v'komo, don't sit in his place. Is one of the things. All years ago, don't sit in his place. And he points out that we're told that Kadosh Baruch Hu is Avinu Shebashamayim, is our Father also. He's a Father in heaven. And therefore, we have to make sure, Yeshu B'mkomo, not to sit in his place. What does it mean not to sit in Hashem's place? So, my thoughts on that are as follows. When you sit in a chair, there's no room for somebody else to sit there. When you sit in your Father's place, your Father can't be there either. Can't be there as well. It's either you or him. It's either you or him. If you sit in somebody's place, there's no room for the owner of that seat to sit there as well. And that's what is being alluded to over here by the Sfas Emes, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu's world as well. We have two choices of how we view the world. We either view the world as we are the center of the universe, it's all about us, or we understand that it's about HaKadosh Baruch Hu and we live for a higher purpose to bring Kiddush Hashem into the world. Ayeshev and Komo, don't sit in Hashem's place. Recognize that this world is about HaKadosh Baruch Hu, not about us, and make sure that that is a philosophy and that is the thinking that drives all of our actions and behaviors. So these are some of the ideas that we can get out of this very short but really beautiful pasuk. We get these beautiful ideas. To recognize the relationship between Shabbos and our belief in Shabbos and our belief in creation and how we relate to our parents and how we relate to the past. The idea of Ish Imo Vav Tiro Shep Sosa Tishmor, to recognize how careful we have to be to nurture and take care of our neshamos, take care of the neshama, the Shabbos that's inside of us. And finally, Ish Imo Vav Tiro, to recognize Hashem is our Father in heaven, and just like we don't sit in our Father's place, we certainly should not sit in Hashem's place, to recognize that this world is not about us, but we're here for a higher purpose, to bring Kiddush Hashem into the world.